While the, while counsel are getting ready, I will call the second case on today's oral argument calendar. That case is number A24-1292, Len Bualu Wong versus the Commissioner of Public Safety. As counsel know, each of you will have 15 minutes for your principal argument. Appellant's counsel will have an opportunity for rebuttal. Those are our standard procedures. Counsel for appellant, when you're ready. I will mention that our lectern is adjustable. There are two buttons on the front edge that will allow it, you can make it go up and down. So whenever you're ready, you may introduce yourself and your client, and then you may begin.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. Counsel, my name is Nicholas Mullen. I'm here on behalf of the Commissioner of Public Safety to ask that this court reverse and remand the district court in this case. In this matter, the district court granted a judgment as a matter of law related to the admissibility of the DMT test record. This was incorrect for two reasons. First being that it was premature.
Mr. Kohler agrees with you, so let's cut to the chase. What do you want us to do? It sounds like you want us to issue an advisory opinion.
No, Your Honor, I don't wish for you to issue an advisory opinion. I would ask that this court, looking at the facts in this case, issue an order finding that it was premature and also finding that it was an error not to find that the prima facie burden was met. Since this the court could do that with looking at the facts in this case, and I think by doing so it would not be an advisory opinion. And I think it would be helpful in this case because if you look at that last paragraph, last page of the transcript, the district court seemed to have some confusion, and I think issuing instruction based upon the actual facts in the record at the point that the motion was made.
Do you know that this court doesn't make findings? And in fact, the district court said, well, I'm not so sure that I'm making that finding. I'll have to review both cases. So it sounds like the district court didn't make a finding on whether or not there is a prima facie showing.
I would agree with that, Your Honor.
Do you want this court then to sit as a fact-finding court?
No, I'm not asking for the court to issue an order saying what the district court should have done, but to include it in the remand order, clarify for the district court the proper process that this court has created with its precedent for the admission of the test record, what is required, and what the actual role of the observation period is, which is not during the admissibility phase. And I think that that would not, in this case, be an advisory opinion.
That arguments that you should make on remand. You could lay out the factors for the court and say, here are the factors you need to consider and make the arguments on remand.
Yes, Your Honor, and the commissioner will certainly do that. The request simply stems from the fact that the commissioner at the district court did make that argument regarding admissibility, and the district court seemed still unsure of what to do and incorrectly apply the law about observation periods. As this court has repeatedly held, error in the observation period doesn't result in suppression of a test record. It only gives the driver the opportunity to show that something occurred and that it affected the test result. So in both cases, the district court seems to not understand this court's precedent, despite the commissioner giving some of it to them at the district court hearing. So that is the basis of the request, simply to facilitate the hearing on remand. But that is my request. I certainly understand if this court is not going to do that and simply remands for the premature issue. I certainly understand that that is a possibility that the court may do it that way. And I would bring to the court's attention, there was a case I orally argued just yesterday, Knapp v. Commissioner, which is also addressing the issue of admissibility of the DMT test record and the role that the observation period plays in that. So if the district court, if this court in this order does discuss the process for that this court has created with this precedent, I just wanted to bring to the court's attention that there is also another decision that will be issued or will end the same time, essentially. regarding the admissibility of the test record, in the event that the court does wish to get into that, since the premature issue is essentially agreed upon by the parties, the observation period plays no role in the admissibility of the test record. In the Vondracek case, this court was very specific that all that is required to meet the prima facie burden for admissibility, and prima facie is admissibility in this case, is that the test must be conducted by someone who is trained and certified, and that the instrument performing the test must be working properly as shown by a correct diagnostic test, both of which happened in this case, and the test should have been admitted. The observation period simply plays no role. This court stated that in Vondracek, that it is error to suppress based on the observation period. It only goes to the weight. And for that reason, the court erred. And that makes sense that that's where the observation period is put, because we're talking about the We're talking about the admissibility of the four corners of the document. Do we believe that the instrument accurately produced the numbers we are seeing on this piece of paper? That is what we're talking about at the admission prima facie stage. And accordingly, the diagnostic test at that point makes sense. We want to know that the instrument is functioning correctly. We also want to know that the operator is using the instrument correctly. And we can look at guidance from the statute that the observation period is not part of this. The statute, 634.16, specifically says the same things, essentially, as Vondracek. The instrument needs to be functioning correctly, and it needs to be conducted by a trained and certified operator, but the statute uses the word use, trained and certified in the use of the instrument. The statute is talking about when the test starts, is this person trained to use this instrument? The observation period is separate from that. We're talking about the four corners of the document, and is this admissible? The observation period does play a big role, but after the test has been admitted, the driver then has a burden of production to show that something happened. But even then, the ultimate burden still rests with the commissioner. After that, if they can show a burden of production, the commissioner still maintains a burden of persuasion to persuade the district court that after the driver's burden of production, for this test is still reliable. So the observation period still plays an important role. The commissioner still has to reckon with any defects in the observation period. It just, under this court's precedent and the statute, it doesn't happen at the admissibility phase. So for those reasons, Your Honor, the commissioner would ask that the this court issue clarifying instructions that the prima facie burden is only requires the instrument be working correctly as shown by the diagnostic check, that the test was conducted by someone trained and certified to use the instrument, and that the observation period plays no role in the admission of the test record itself, that comes later. And if this court has no further questions, I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Counsel for respondent, you may approach. Please introduce yourself and your client, and then you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Dan Kohler, and I represent the respondent in this matter, Lang Wing. In this case, the district court erred in prematurely ruling on the evidence during the judgment as a motion for judgment as a matter of law. We are conceding that. But we're also asking this court not to compound that error, make the same mistake, and don't accept appellant's invitation to extend the case law on a partial record that's not relevant to the case at hand, to the appeal at hand. The district court would be in the best decision on remand, which we know is going to happen, to make the decision whether or not the prima facie case was made or not. And this judge in particular has seen this issue many times. I've won this issue with appellant many times. Other attorneys have as well. In those cases, experts testify. District courts are concluding that this is a matter of prima facie admissibility based on this new instrument and the new guidelines and the new science. Appellant has not appealed any of those losses. This is the first time in my knowledge that they've brought up an appeal, although I just heard of the Knapp case for the first time today. I don't know who appealed that. But this is the first appeal they've made where they've tried to reestablish under the new instrument that the old case law is still relevant. And that old case law under the old instruments was premised on the holdings in Dilley and Tate. Did the officer take the steps necessary to ensure reliability? That's a mixed question of law and fact. Under the old instrument, this court saw the evidence and determined that, no, we shift the burden as long as a 15-minute observation period is done. We're not going to weigh if the officer does something that blatantly violates their training, like having somebody go to the restroom and then not restarting the period. We're not going to get into that. That's a case-by-case determination, and that burden is on the driver. Now, with this instrument, the BCA training, and the new advances in the science that have come up, there's a strong argument, I think it's convincing, that the observation period is much more important than was originally thought. The manufacturer of this instrument thinks it's much more important than we actually thought. And I could talk for 3 hours about the reasons why and the science, but this is not a fact-finding court, and that would be a waste of my breath because this court's not in a position to make that determination. They will be in that position in the future to review a complete district court record and apply the appropriate standard of review to whatever decision the district court judge makes. So that's why in this case, we do agree this does need to be remanded. The decision was premature, but anything beyond that would either be an advisory opinion or it would toothlessly tie the district court's hands, because even with this advisory opinion, the district court could then listen to all the experts and say, no, foundationally, this is not a reliable test. And it's unnecessary to tie their hands in that way.
I have a question for you. Neither of you raised this, but just for legal discussion. I didn't know that a JMOL was available in anything other than a jury trial.
As I stand here today, I also don't know. I've never raised it in a civil implied consent case. Trial counsel, I've never seen him do it before. I'm not sure why that happened here, but I don't actually know if it's even appropriate or not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because you both agree it needs to be remanded. So just, I was just curious. Yes.
No, if the court has no other questions, then I guess I would just rest on a request, joint request, that this matter be remanded back to Judge Castro for further consideration. Thank you.
Mr. Millen, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, to start with your question, Judge Riley, the answer is I don't know. I mean, when I was looking to prepare this brief, everything I found, including the standard review, which comes from the rule of civil procedure, does reference a jury. So I struggled to respond to what the district court did, other than I essentially had to use that language from the rules of civil procedure because that is all I had. So I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it is a fair one. I just have two brief comments. First of all, I think this is not an incomplete record regarding admissibility because that is entirely the commissioner's burden, and the commissioner put the evidence in the record that they wanted to put in regarding admissibility. The record is still incomplete regarding other things and will have to be reopened on remand, but the record is complete as admissibility. And all that required for admissibility, the commissioner showed in this case. So that record is complete. And the case law we're looking to here is not old case law. It depends on what do you mean by old, I guess. But Vonarchak is 7 years old. That is the case that applied this line of cases and the statute stemming back to Dilley, specifically to the DMT. And since then, this court reinforced Vonarchak in 2019 with Junker. So this is not new case law. It's not old case law. It is a very old line of precedent, all of which is essentially in line, and Vonarchak marks the beginning of applying this line of case law to the DMT. And then again, regarding the prima facie case, which is admission, I would also note that in addition to the statute talking about that language of use and usage of the instrument, we also have to remember there is a legislative presumption of reliability with the DMT. 634.16 gives it that presumption. It's not talking about the DMT, but it talks about an instrument. 169. A.03, which is referenced by 634.16, defines instrument used by 634.16 as an instrument approved by the commissioner. In 7502.0425, the civil rule, that is where the commissioner approves the DMT for usage. So there is a legislative presumption of reliability here for admission that adds further weight to the prima facie case only being the diagnostic tech and the training of the officer. And unless this court has any further questions.
These issues that you are describing for us, were those issues presented in the same manner in the Knapp case? Or are they at issue in the same to the same extent?
Yes, Your Honor. These issues were discussed very similarly in Knapp. And the issue in Knapp is very similar in that there was what the driver in Knapp perceived to be as defects in the observation period being used to suppress a test record at the prima facie stage, which we think is inappropriate based on this precedent. And also, like this case, the driver in Knapp had not produced any evidence that anything occurred during the observation period, just relying solely on their definition of defects in the observation period alone, and the court suppressed the test record based off of that, which, looking at this court's precedent, is error, and was error in this case as well.
I was just going to say you argued that yesterday.
Yes, Your Honor.
Who was on the panel?
Judge Eade, Judge Harris, and Judge Bentley, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Yes.
And in the procedural posture in the Knapp case, was that one that went to a full hearing with a decision by the court afterward on the merits?
Yes, Your Honor. It went to a full hearing. The driver, Mr. Knapp, chose not to present any evidence. It wasn't a hearing that ended early with a judgment as a matter of law. The issue went fully, the hearing fully ended, and Mr. Knapp rather uniquely limited his issue only to admission of the test record. Not accuracy and reliability, and chose not to, while it is the commissioner's position that the observation period is simply not part of the admissibility and not relevant, Mr. Knapp did not present any evidence that anything occurred during the observation period, just relied on that he thought there were defects in it, and the district court suppressed the test record for that.
Thank you, Mr. Moen.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Both attorneys. The case is submitted. The court will issue its opinion in writing within 90 days.
Thank you.